It's Fairfield County Live and Local, presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox, and I'm hanging out with three members of Sergeant Scagnetti. What's up?
Welcome.
Hello.
You definitely don't want everybody in this box.
Dude, there's a lot of you guys, for sure. For sure.
It's sort of a ska band, so there's too many.
Be a lot to manage.
Mike down here in the bottom was giving you a little play-by-play of the Celtics game real quick there at the beginning. So, you know, just in case you're wondering how the game's going. They're up three.
Yeah. Or if I'm not looking, it's because I'm looking at the TV here.
So thank you guys for reaching out, really, because, I mean, your story is fascinating. And, like, Steve, you sent me that email initially. I assume, Steve, that was you who sent the email.
Yes, sir.
And, like, you guys were big in the late 90s. And I remember hearing that name. Like, you guys were everywhere. You know, just that, like, of all those Connecticut bands, like the early 2000s, late 90s, Deep Banana, you guys, it was a name that I remembered. And after 18 years, like a cicada, you guys are back and you're doing stuff. You've got new music out, which we're going to hear at 9 p.m. And yes, you've got a show coming up next week. I want to get to what caused the reunion, but can you take me back to the beginning of the band? How did the band all get together?
Sure. Yeah, I could take that one. So I don't think none of the three of us are original members, right? So that's how far back this goes. And that's also the curse of a ska band. But I think Mike and Carmella probably were hanging out with Scagnetti in other bands in, you know, kind of the New Haven scene back in the mid to late 90s.
So I got to ask, I got to interrupt you for a second. I'm sorry. But when I saw your name pop up, Steve Scagnetti, I just, you know, myself just automatically assumed that you were the founder of the band, but you were not.
No, that is actually not my last name. I used to go check those guys out. So I went to high school with a bunch of the guys that were in the
band.
It's
like a Ramones thing. I like it. All right. Sorry. Continue.
No. And so I used to go check them out because I just thought it was cool, man. Like, they were playing Toad's Place and they were playing the Globe in Norwalk. And I didn't really know about the world that they were operating in, but I went to go check them out. And then, you know, as bands do, they had member changes and things like that. And somehow someone asked me if I wanted to sing in their band. And so I said, yeah, okay, I'll try. And the rest is kind of history. And I think, horn sections in bands kind of rotate over time.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Mike and Carm come in. We played with bands. They were in a band called the Step Backs and some other bands as well. And you know, it's just very incestuous and weird, the whole world that we lived in.
The whole music scene, everyone's playing in each other's bands and on each other's records. And yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of part of the beauty of it. I want to go back though. You said, you know, these guys just asked you one day to sing in their band. People don't just walk up and ask someone random to sing in their band. What was your story? What were you doing?
I knew the guys. I was good friends with Danny, who was a guitar player at the time. And, I was just going to their shows. And so I was actually kind of like a hip hop kid. So I was like writing rap lyrics and DJing and stuff like that. So when he asked me, do you want to sing in the band? I literally had this, I was like, well, I know I can write lyrics for your band, right? I can write songs. I know that.
Right.
But I don't actually know if I can sing because I've never tried to sing. Literally never sang, you know, I sang in the shower, I guess, or to Motley Crue records in fifth grade, but like, I don't know if I can sing. So I had to like go to Danny's house, sit there with an acoustic guitar and he played and I tried to sing and he was like, yeah, you can kind of sing.
See, that's awesome. I love that. That was what I was wondering. I wanted to know like if you had had any experience in the past and you didn't, and that just makes it so much cooler.
No. And then it's just like, you know, a couple weeks later, you're in Providence, Rhode Island, opening up for, a band called the Pie Tasters, which was huge at the time. And Dickie Barrett from the Boston's was at that show.
No way.
My first Scagnetti show. And I was terrible, John. Terrible. I did such a bad job. So I was all fired up, you know? And I had never, like, I didn't bring water on stage with me because what did I know? And I was jumping and running and doing the best I could. And by song two, man, there was no voice. and it sucked. It was really bad.
You know what, though? That's the better kind of terrible, because what I was going to ask was, were you the terrible where you just kind of stand there on the stage and you don't really know what you're doing and you're in there? No. Or were you the terrible where you just went balls out on the first song? Which
not for balls out. I was there to go balls out. Like that was never the issue. As I get fatter and older, that becomes a little bit of an issue. But the aim is always full energy. That's not the issue. It was just breath control and you know. I did my best, but it was not good. It was not pretty.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. It sounds amazing. And Mike and Carmella, you know, like Steve was saying, of course, and Dan down there, here loves you Dan. Guys.
What up, Dan?
Dan, that's who we were talking
about. Dan's the reason we're all here.
Danny Pancakes.
But you know, like Steve was saying, horn sections are such a revolving door of people. I was in an 8-piece funk band for a little while. We had everybody playing that band at some point. What's your history with the band? How long have you each been involved?
I guess around the same time. It was the first reunion show,
2010. Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys go back further than that with us, though. So Mike,
yeah. Carmella happens to be married to Dave, who's the drummer, who is one of the founders of the band.
We're not sure if Carm actually wants to be in the band. But
just has to be in the band.
Might as well.
Right. Carmella and I are best friends from high school, and we played in a band called The Stepbacks. And then, you know, we actually, from my vantage point, we actually had a little beef with Sergeant Skag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They skipped ahead of us on a show at the Wetlands, and we were not very happy about that.
That's not cool.
And Richie was our buddy, but somehow they snaked us. But that was actually not with Steve. And then all of a sudden they flip-flopped and Steve got in the band. Okay. And our drummer, me and Jimmy were like, when did Sergeant Scagnetti get so good? Like, they're so good now. And it was when Steve was in the band. And then every time they played and we'd see him, we would just parade up there and I'd jump on Steve's back or grab the mic from Richie and just sing all their songs. So it was kind of like, all right, these guys are cool.
So you weren't in the band, but you were in the scene. You were in that.
Yeah. We, Carmella and I, we would play shows with Scagnetti all the time and at the Tune In various other places. And then I played in another band called Flip You For Real. And I have old videotapes where, you know, they're just Skag shows. You know, and it was when I started to play with them at a reunion, it was like, you know, I got a bunch of stuff of you guys back in the day that I just had the camera out for. So it's kind of a crazy little circle.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah. You were talking a little bit about the live show, and that is such a big thing that I read, you know, in your bio and just from hearing about the band. Describe a live Sergeant Scagnetti show, whether it's at one of the reunion shows or now or back in the beginning. Describe the experience.
From a band side or a fan side?
Both. Okay, because you guys have both perspectives. So yeah.
From a band side, back in the day, they used to do just the nuttiest things. They would be in a different outfit. They would all be
matching outfits, like
or masked on, just stuff that it was like almost like hazmat suits, and you're like, what are they doing? They're gonna kill themselves up there. But they always brought it. But now some of our shows, like, we may shift into like sixth or seventh gear in the production end and start maybe trying to do too much.
Okay.
Like, we put it out for the fans, but the fans have no idea that behind the scenes it's just chaos.
So what are we talking about? Are we talking about like pyrotechnics, crazy lights, all kinds of just
crazy lights. Crazy lights was one thing.
Crazy lights.
Pyrotechnics. I think I brought up smoke bombs for another show I wanted to do.
That's fantastic.
Steve kind of talked me off the ledge of that.
So instead we did safe things like blow up candy canes and
swords.
Those are a little safer than the smoke bombs, maybe.
No, definitely very conservative decision there. That's good.
We didn't get paid a couple times because of some of the antics. And so as we get older, there's you worry about litigation and things like that. So we try, it is a little scaled back, but we still try to, we're old as hell now, but we try to bring some energy, try to, show some of these young guys what's, how it's supposed to be done. You still feel good.
Engage the crowd. Got to engage the crowd. I mean, why go out and see, music if you're not going to have a little back and forth with the crowd? It works for us. It works for them. tends to be a good time. And I think people actually remember us because, you know, we'll get up there and like Steve is a perfect case of something happens in the crowd and he's willing to go after it. He's like a good comedian. He's like, he's going to go after it.
Right.
And then we might have this back and forth with the crowd. And, you know, I think people just remember that or the swords.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the swords. So I'm reading your bio and it says, the shows are crazy. You know, every once in a while, we'll give the entire audience members plastic swords and have them reenact a scene from Braveheart. That mm-hmm. sticks out when you read something like that. So I don't know if this is a Steve question or who can answer this, but how did the Braveheart reenaction begin in terms of the live show?
The first time we did it was at our CD release party. So this is going back to 1998, 99, something like that, okay. At the Tune in New Haven, Connecticut. And we would go, like Mike said, we would always try to think of what can we do at this show? You know, is it blanket in the whole club and tinfoil ahead of time? Is it hazmat suits? Is it renting a duck suit and letting some, you know, one of our fans run on stage with us? I remember screaming at a kid in a duck suit because he was like, I'm really hot and I'm going to puke. And we were like, get back out there. Do your job. But the swords were, we went to a dollar store back in the day. And I think these swords were 25 cents each. And they were, you know, real big plastic swords. And so we were like, we'll just take these, like the whole thing, you know, 300 of them or whatever. And we loaded them into the van and we handed them out ahead of time. And what we do with the swords, we brought it back since, is it's all about, like Mike said, trying to create some adversity with the crowd, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's real easy to go, hey, how's everybody doing? I hope you have a good time. We're Sergeant Skag from New Haven, Connecticut. It's a lot more fun to sort of come out, like, in New Jersey and call them out for having the third best pizza in the country.
That's,
you know?
That's so gutsy.
Like, 7 seconds in, we haven't even played a song yet. And people are like, fuck you! You know? We're like, all right, let's go.
Right? Perfect. So we love it.
Handing out the swords and then pitting them against each other, right? Like taking one half of the crowd. It's a classic hip hop move, right? This side over here, You guys are on whatever team, whatever dumb stuff we come up with on the van ride down. You guys over here are the opposite of that. And then, you know, play an energetic song and let them beat the hell out of each other with the foam swords.
I like giving out the swords ahead of time and not just throw, because I, in my mind, I was imagining you just threw them out there on stage and then just like went, but you, so you show up at the show. I'm just imagining I show up. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go see this band. Hey, someone just handed me a plastic sword. I wonder what this is for. Like, I'm definitely going to be paying attention.
And if we got people in the crowd, you know, they kind of know the deal. So they'll help us disperse them. And the idea is once we get up there, everybody who wants one has a sword. And then we, you know, see if we can get people to hate each other a little bit in a fun way.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh my God, I want to experience that so badly.
I guess we probably can't do that.
I was just going to say, won't happen.
We got 6 foot swords, right?
So right.
maybe it's more of a joust. Maybe it's more of a joust.
You know what? That's
Pugles. Right? Pugles, is that what they're called?
I don't know. I've never heard that word before.
He just went deep.
I don't even know if I'm right. Somebody fact check me. I know the internet loves to do that.
Leave it in the comments. Is Pugles a real word?
Right.
So Steve, so, and I want to get to the music. And by the way, this is Sergeant Scagnetti, Fairfield County Live and Local 95.9 The Fox for people who are just tuning in. And we're going to be hearing 3 songs from Sergeant Skag at 9 on 95.9 The Fox. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The band is now back after an 18-year hiatus. A couple of reunion shows in the middle there, but now you guys are back and you're making new music. Talk to me, I guess, about what initially ended the band back in – well, what year did the band end back in, like, the 90s, early 2000s?
So it was right at the end of 1999.
Okay.
Right before 2000. We didn't want to make it to the Y2K.
Right.
What ended the band? I mean, just, you know, you hang out in vans and you play a lot of shows, and these guys know, Carmen and Mike were just talking about it. Like, we still battle, right? This isn't like everything's a battle, John. It just is with this band, and you do it because you love it and we love each other, but we also hate each other sometimes. And there was just a point where we hated each other enough that we said we should stop. That's it. You know, just a classic, like arguing over the color of things and the timing of things and the whatever of things.
Been there, and, dude.
So you just go, let's try some other stuff. So It was good. We went out as high as we ever were, right? We were doing the best we probably ever were in Connecticut, playing lots of shows all over the place. And we were like, let's kill this before it sinks.
Wow. You know? It's a gutsy call.
Very Scagnetti move. Just cut its head off as high as it's going to go.
You know what, though? I respect that, because that's hard to do when you're on top. I mean, you see a lot of bands, like, you know, you'll see lineup changes and you'll see them touring less, and they kind of, there's this slow death. You guys just decided to flame out.
Yeah.
And that can't be an easy decision.
Seemed like it at the time.
I'm sure thought it was easy at the time.
I guess if you're annoyed enough with each other, it can definitely seem easy. So, but you know, I mean, you said there's a lot of love there. What made the decision to have, you know, reunion shows are easy. Obviously, you want to like have one night where it's fun. But what? Maybe I'm glossing over that a little too much, though. But I'm really interested in why you guys decided to do the full comeback, and why now.
So you're right. The reunion shows are easy. We would get asked by people, you know, every year or a couple of years, you know, hey, you guys should do it. And I think it was 10 years out, 2010, when we did the first one. And, you know, there's enough distance and you just go, all right, it's cool. Like, I'm not mad at anybody anymore. You know, like, let's go have some fun.
Right.
And so we did that, and that was easy. The comeback, I don't really know. It's just, I felt like I had some Scagnetti songs in my brain, right? And so we ran into Richie at probably a Spring Hill Jack show, right? Some friends of ours that, you know, also from back in the day in Connecticut that are still rocking it. And I don't know, went to a Toads Play show. I think I went with Richie or something. And, you know, we're kind of standing near each other in the crowd, and people occasionally would still come up and go, hey, man, you guys are great. Miss you guys. You know, it's like, why don't we try to write a couple songs, you know, just see what happens. There was there's a big ska festival that happens down in Virginia, or not this year, but normally would happen, called
Steve, I'm sorry, what year is this now?
This was 2018.
Okay.
Right? 2018 was the Supernova we did. So we got asked to play this festival, which we probably, I don't know if we belonged on that festival. This is like top notch, you know, the biggest of big bands. And we got asked to play it, and we were like pretty honored that we got to do it. I think we may have been asked in 2017, and we couldn't get it together. And then, so we said, hey, maybe there's a chance they'll ask us again next year. Why don't we prepare as though we're going to get shows like that, and we'll write some songs in the interim. And then when that phone call comes, you know, of like, hey, do you want to open for whoever, wherever, like, we can actually do it. Cause that was always, you know, I think we were ready maybe a year and a half, two before that, maybe 16 or 17.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like Mike said, getting our stuff together, you know, we had no real, you know, who's going to be in the band, like who's in, who's out, how do we do it? Nobody wrote down charts on any of these songs. Like, we got to go remember 15 songs before we can play a show. What a pain in the ass all that is. Like, do you guys want to do that? So we did it ahead of the show. And then they actually did call and say, hey, do you want to play that show? And we were like, all right, we're ready. Let's go do it.
Nice.
We actually tried to reincite a little bit of Civil War when we went down to Virginia. We wore like Northern, Northern hats. Yeah. Union Army. And people were like, dude, you got to stop that shit. Like, people down here don't, like, they take that stuff real seriously.
I was going to say, that's a gutsy move in Virginia, man.
We wanted a little seriousness. Hey.
Yeah, right.
It was Memorial Day weekend, so it was
right. We were.
Man.
We don't shy away from confrontation.
Right.
Can I say, too? And like, fun, but.
Oh, no, of course. But you know what? I mean, it's interesting, because I listened, you know, just from listening to your stuff over the last couple of days. I mean, it's ska, and ska, of course, has this obvious reputation of being just this really upbeat. It's fun. We're just going to have a lot of fun. You guys go pretty dark in your content, and just like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of minor scale ska going on, you know, and it's awesome. But I mean, I assume that that's intentional. Can you talk a little bit just about your, like, you know, your songwriting process and just the inspiration behind it?
The inspiration behind it.
The process, like,
we got stuck in that whole ska genre, which we all love as a music, but I think the band is, you know, it's a lot more than ska. And, you know, we have a little metal ting. Now that we've come back and Carmella's in the band, there's this, like, Carmella can smooth over some of the rough edges, and gives it this like sweet poppy feel. But then Steve's lyrics are talking about just like just snarky irony, I call it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you add some of Dave and Richie in, and then you add some crazy horn parts in that, you know, especially when I write a part, it's like, it's got all these chromatics. It sounds like Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker. It's like bebop chromatics, which don't really belong in, you know, a pop ska band. And so you throw these all in the pot. And then, as you said, we all argue a lot. But if you don't come to our band with an opinion, you're going to get kicked to the wayside. Like, you're just going to drop off because, you know, you got to fight. Because that's kind of what makes it good. And then we throw it all into the pot. And then, like, a lot of times we'll go out and road test the song. Like, for the show on the 10th, we're going to road test the song.
Of course.
And then we're going to see how it goes, feel the vibe, and then go back. And when we actually go and record it, you know, hopefully decently soon, we're gonna feel how that played live and kind of tweak. And that's where we get the mixture in that pot. And once we stir it up, then we come back and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
I think what's good too is like, we don't just settle either. Like, we come to the table with lots of different ideas, and there's a lot of shedding of like, nope, that's not going to work. Like, you just got to suck it up. Like, I know you love that horn line or you love that guitar part, but like, it doesn't work and it doesn't mesh anymore. So just, we need to write something new, or just take that out, you know? And like, so as adult as we can be, we're not sometimes, because you're like, but I really like that part. Well, it doesn't work, so it's got to go.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely, you have to let your ego go a little bit in a band that big, because, you know, I mean, that one horn part of that one guitar part, like, yeah, you like it musically, but you also like the image of yourself playing it at the show and like sounding badass when you play the thing, you know what I mean? But that doesn't always translate to what's good for the band. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of ego death that has to happen with that. Steve, lyrically, where does the snarky irony come from?
It's just who I am, man, I guess. And, I think, you know, early on in this band, we realized that, you know, as we got more popular, people liked the live show and people would talk about the song content, right? And they'd say, hey, man, like, you're taking this from a little bit different of an angle. And so we just try to stay in that lane. And Richie, our bass player, doesn't write too many of the lyrics. He's done some choruses and stuff, but he's the guy that's gonna like, I'll bring a song idea to the table, and then he'll inject sort of his attitude and his thought process on that. And I usually don't like it. I'm like, nah, man, I hate that. But then, but I also know he's right. And then, so eventually we'll settle in and I'll go, all right, I'm going to take 50% of what you said and, you know, 50% of what I was thinking, you know, and then in a van ride, we'll chat it up with the rest of the band and people will throw their ideas in. And then usually just give me a guitar line and I just have a couple hours to kill. I can go bang it out. But it seems like we're the kind of band that like, we don't sit around in a circle, look at each other, and somebody plays a you know, a riff, and then we're like, oh yeah, that's cool, man. And there's a drum beat. We're like, oh man, this is coming together. Like, that shit doesn't happen with us. Like,
no, yeah. I don't think that happens in real life in general. I think that happens in music biopics. We all think
you're right.
It's supposed to happen, and it doesn't.
You're right. You're right. Maybe it is. It's a 2-hour movie, and they don't have time for what really went into it. Exactly. That's probably true. That actually makes me feel a lot better.
I was gonna say, go easy on yourself. I don't think that's a real.
No, thing. I mean it's just a process that we do. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think if I wrote something that didn't have sort of that, well, I don't know if it's an edge or whatever that word is. If there's not something to it where you go, oh, there's something wrong right there with that person or that thought process, then Richie wouldn't allow it to happen, right? Our bass player would just be like, no, song's no good. Like, to Carm's point, throw it out, do better, try again, you know? So
I love that. I love that energy that you guys are describing, that environment that you're creating and just kind of pushing each other to feel like to do better rather. It feels like a team. Obviously you guys are a team, but I'm talking about like a football team or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, where you're just gonna...
there's enough of that football and basketball team, I think.
Right.
Like, just to be, and then, you know, like, you fight for your ego, but usually you park it at the door. I don't think there's been a case where everybody's been like, you know, that part that we threw away, like, that was great in this song. Why did we ever do that? I think we actually, it takes a while and it's, you know, fist up, but once it gets done, and I think that's why we road test them too, and we play them out before we like go and record them, because after that you really go, ah, that part didn't work and everybody was right about this, so let's put it back together like the way we're doing it, because this is actually better.
Yeah.
And it's maybe because we're a little bit more mature in our age, but we still have some of that like fight in that you needed when you were a kid, but we know how to like at least manage it now a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You get the best of both worlds when you can do that. And now, you know, you mentioned road testing, too. And I want to give you guys a chance to talk about this show that's coming up at the Klein. Not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah, there we go.
Already there?
Oh, our boy, so Kenny Mercer, who's in a band called Duffy Winehouse that we've played some shows with and is a good, important guy, especially, I think, in Fairfield County on the scene, does a lot more hip-hop stuff than anything, but... we had booked a show with him that I think was supposed to be at Toad's Place at the end of August. And obviously that fell apart and didn't happen. And I talked to Kenny back in whenever that fell apart. And he's like, dude, I'm going to make something happen. Like, just, you know, are you in if I can make it happen? And we're like, of course we're in. And so Kenny's got 4 weeks of shows, right? So I think they had their first one yesterday, Saturday, with Jen Durkin. And it was more of a funk sort of thing. And it was sold out in the Klein parking lot. And I think this coming Saturday, there's more of a hip hop edge kind of thing. Bands like Fat Astronaut, Chesky, rocking. And so we're doing the 10th, Saturday, October 10th, with a band called the Zambonis, who are, you know, Connecticut classics.
Everyone knows the Zambonis.
These guys are damn legends in the game. Oh, yeah. And a band called Chaser 8, rock and roll band, I think also from Fairfield County. So, yeah, the idea is it's a mental health benefit show. So the ticket prices are, you know, a little more than you might typically pay for a Scagnetti show. But it's going to a great cause, Mental Health CT. It's a Tour for Life is what Kenny's calling the series of shows. And it's going to be our only show in 2020, unless something weird happens in November or December. You never know, but I doubt it, right? This is it. We had to cancel 9, 10, or 11 shows, you know, earlier in the year, which sucked. Some of those shows we had put a lot of effort into before they had to go bye-bye.
That
was unfortunate. So this is it, man. So this we'll see if we remember how to do this thing and get out in the sunshine in beautiful Bridgeport, Connecticut, in a parking lot, and see what we can do. See if we can bring some energy,
dude. And I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to. I'm so excited to see, because it's just, I mean, three incredible bands, and it's for an awesome cause. So yeah, I mean, if the ticket price is scaring you a little bit, don't let it. Just commit. It's all going to something good. And there's so, live music is so few and far between now. You got to take it where you can get it.
There's been a lot of work put into this on Kenny and a lot of his team's behalf. So it's, you know, we're psyched to be a part of it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in 2 minutes, we're going to hear some of these songs that you guys have been talking about. We got some new tunes. Let me see. What do we do with that? What do we have? We've got the, what's this first one
Dirt Bike Kid
is the first one, and then it's Cultination, and then it's Murder House. Cultination. So we've got three songs, Dirt Bike Kid, Cultination, and Murder House, and that's coming up in like a minute. So I don't want to drag all these people, you know, away from your music. Let me send them to you. But yeah, so if you liked what you heard, or if you know Sergeant's Gag and you want to, and then we got a whole other hour. What do we have? We've got their new mother, new mother, new mother, new mother, new mother, new mother.
You said that wasn't going to happen again, Johnny.
I didn't they have it right on the punch.
That's exactly. I know. And as soon as I'm doing the plug, now I got to get close to the monitor. That's all right. You know where to go if you've watched this show before. 959thefox.com. We're going to get three songs from Sergeant Skag, and then we got a whole other hour of all local Connecticut bands coming up after that. Guys, thank you so much. Carmella, Steve, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate Mike, how are you doing?
62. Ooh, they're up one now. 63, 62. They just got another bucket. 65, 62. 10.5 minutes to go in the third period. Yes.
All right. So it's just a good news night. This is great.
Right now it's playing good.
Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Stick around for a sec after I pull us off live. But for people who are watching, Sergeant Skag starting right now on 95.9 FM. We'll talk to you next time.
Rise up!